Grab your girls, grab your beers.
Hey everybody, this is Charlie from Anthrax, and you are listening to Today's Boondoggle.
This is Mark Metcalf, and you are listening to Today's Boondoggle with Bailey and Domain Cleveland Radio.
You are listening to Today's Boondoggle with Bailey on Domain Cleveland Radio. Yes, Kato Kalen listens to this all the time.
Monty Heath, so one Heath, and you are listening to Today's Boondoggle.
Hey, what's up? It's John from Skillet, and you are listening to Today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts!
Sonic Temple Art and Music Festival returns to historic Crew Stadium. Slipknot. Disturbed, Pantera, the original Misfits, Evanescence, Limp Bizkit, Judas Priest, Stain, Breaking Benjamin, A Day to Remember, Falling in Reverse, Sleep Token, Rise Again, 311, Seether, Mudvayne, and many more. May 16th through the 19th, Columbus, Ohio. Tickets on sale now at SonicTempleFestival.com.
What's going on, everybody? It's Bill Bailey with Today's Boondoggle. And real quick housekeeping note, if you're watching us on YouTube or Rumble or BitChute or Odyssey, please hit that follow and subscribe button. And if you're listening to us on Apple or Google, whatever podcast platform, Spotify, whatever podcast platform you're utilizing, please hit that follow and subscribe button so we can continue to bring you conversations like the one I'm bringing you today. We are talking with Mitch from the band Moon Fever. What's going on, Mitch?
What's up, man? Morning.
Good morning. Yeah, you're over there in Seattle, right?
Yep, sure am, dude.
Yeah, so what is it, like 10?
Yeah, 10. I'm awake. We just literally rolled back into town off road last night, so I'm like still figuring out my life a little bit, but yeah, dude, I'm here.
Nice, man. Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. And from what I understand, I guess, what, were you on the road with Steel Panther?
We were, which, awesome. Yeah, such a good job. Yeah.
I'm just grateful you're up and functioning after coming off the road with those guys.
I will say, you know, after the second, we did a tour with them in December too, and after the second one, you kind of get your bearings. You know what I mean? You're like, you got a system. Come in, you dry out, stop drinking, you're back in the game. You know what I mean?
Nice. Yeah. So, Mitch, usually when I have somebody on for the first time, I like to get a quick background. So, do you remember originally what you wanted to be when you grew up?
I mean, you know, honestly, music called to me at a super young age. I remember, there was like some like music, like thing where like in like the band, where they try to get you to play different instruments. And I remember like being like 13 or 12 even maybe. And then and like someone was playing guitar and like bass for like the high school band or whatever. And I was like, and originally I saw the bass player and I'm like, hell yeah, I'm going to get girls from that. So literally, I was like, I'm going to learn how to play bass. Ended up learning how to play guitar. And I mean, since I was like 15, I mean, that's all I've really wanted to do, to be honest with you.
Nice. And who were some of your like early musical influences?
Well, I mean, growing up, my parents would always take us to like a lot of like blues and like rock shows when we were kids and stuff. So like, you know, a lot of classic rock, but like, really what got me to be like, I'm going to do music forever is the first time I heard Exile on Main Street by the Rolling Stones in my friend's car on a burned CD driving through the country in Wisconsin, going back to my parents' house. And I heard that first riff on, it's Rocks Off is the name of the song. And I was like, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life, without question. Yeah.
Nice. And then what was, you know, you had the thing in school with learning to play guitar, but like, when did you start taking it outside, like find like-minded friends and start playing together?
Probably honestly 14, maybe 15. I remember my parent, like I took guitar lessons from like this like local like blues legend guy. So I was like kind of doing that and like meeting other people who want to be in bands and like writing like really, really like bad songs. I was like 15 years old, like terrible. I wish I could find those recordings because they're probably very awesome and embarrassing. But yeah, I mean, our first cover band, I think I was like 14 or 15 doing like Green Day songs. Yeah. Playing in the cafeteria in high school and stuff, dude. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then, like you were saying, you know, finding some of those old songs, you know, you'd love to find some of those old songs, how embarrassing they were. I always like hearing about, like, you know, band names when you were like growing up. Like, did you have like some really gnarly band names?
Oh, I wish I could remember, because I'm telling you, whatever some of those teenage band names were horrendous. I remember, oh man, some of them were bad, but I cannot remember. Yeah, I wish I did.
Nice. Yeah. And then like, so you get together, you start playing with some friends doing like Green Day covers and whatnot. But what was like the music scene like in your area growing up?
Well, when I grew up in Green Bay, Wisconsin, out in Suwamico, which is out like in the middle of nowhere in the country. And so not much. I mean, it was basically like the only other musicians you knew that were like into like rock music and like stuff like that were like the only drummer was the only drummer. The only guitar player was like the only guitar player. You know what I mean? So it was pretty slim, but, you know. Yeah, so it was okay. You know, it was fun. I mean, good shows always came through though. You know what I mean? Like, I remember being a kid and still going out to see good bands and stuff. And, you know, I remember seeing Nonpoint when I was like 15 and being like, dude, this is so sick. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And what was, I mean, yeah, I remember like some of the concerts I checked out in high school that came through, like, and you said like Nonpoint's one of the ones that like blew you away, but what were some that you'll always like, you know, never forget that really impacted you as a kid?
I remember as a young kid, my dad taking me to go see like BB King, and I thought that was like unbelievable. Also like big embarrassing, but whatever. I remember me and one of my high school, like maybe junior high school, like my 13 or 14, my folks took us to see Good Charlotte, and we thought that was very cool. Now looking back, pretty lame, but whatever, you know, sick. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And then when was it that Moon Fever came together, you founded Moon Fever?
So Moon Fever started, I mean, it's gone through a lot of members and a lot of things that actually get it to where it is now, but I started actually in North Hollywood in LA. The original ideas, I mean, maybe 4 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, something like that. We started there just like playing with local guys I knew, kind of like throwing songs around, and then, you know, went through a bunch of different members, different singer, and then finally ended up in Seattle, got this crew together, and it's just been like perfect. It's magic, man. It's like, it's exactly what it's supposed to be, you know?
Yeah. And then, how did that, that move happen then for you from, you know, Wisconsin and then ended up in North Hollywood?
So, I was like 17, and I was like the school, high school, college, like none of that was for me, man. I was like playing guitar and like, you know, hanging out with my friends and doing stupid rehearsals for bands that weren't very good. And, I ended up trying, I wanted to go to Berkeley originally, and I'm really happy I didn't, because that's how this all turned out. But I was bummed, and then I was like, well, maybe I can find something out in LA. And I ended up going to a school called LA Music Academy for like maybe like a year and a half in Pasadena, and then eventually met some guys out there, started a band, and just started playing. Because I was like, you know, like school thing, music's good, but like, you know, I was like, hey, I'm hungry for the gigs. Like, I want to get out there and do the thing, you know? And so I was like 17 playing in clubs in LA, like trying to pretend I was 21. It was a lot of fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously that's, you know, the place to be for networking and building a reputation. Mm-hmm. Like, how did that hustle, you know, how did that hustle end up leading you from there then to Seattle?
Well, I mean, back then, I mean, I played with a ton of different bands. Like, some did okay, some did not okay. And it just, honestly, it was just networking. Just find yourself in different circles of musicians. Then, like, you know, we started touring some national act stuff. And then, like, you know, just it all kind of morphs into what it's supposed to be, I think. And eventually, I mean, Seattle, I came here on a tour. And I was like, it was the middle of summer. It was beautiful. And I'm like, I'm moving here. I'm like, it's beautiful. Like, I'm like, the nature and, like, the city was so cool. And I was kind of over LA at the time, and then I was just like, I'm moving here, I'm gonna figure it out. You know, that's like kind of what I've done in my whole life. I just kind of moved, I'm like, I'll figure it out. You know what I mean? Go with the gut.
yeah. And I mean, yeah, I get that. I mean, I've got to visit out there before, and I forget what, like, you know, even getting out of Seattle, I was out by like Rainier or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just beautiful, and I've noticed, you know, I'm in Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, nice.
You know, and it's like every time I get away from the city and out in nature, man, it just has a whole different, like, vibe and connection. You just feel more like you're serving your purpose or where you're supposed to be, clear-headed, you know?
Yeah, I got to tell you, speaking of Cleveland, Ohio, on the first run of Steel Panther, we broke down in on the Cleveland Turnpike getting into Cleveland, and it was an absolute nightmare, but we saved it. Show was awesome. Love you, Cleveland. Don't like the Turnpike. Other than that, love it.
Nice. I think that was that at the Temple Live or whatever.
Yeah, Temple Live.
Yeah. My buddy Garrett runs that place. That's an awesome venue.
Great venue. Really cool place. Yeah.
Lot of history there, and then you know, they put some money into the sound system. Yeah.
The place is awesome venue.
Yeah, sorry I missed that one. I was there was something else going on that night, but anyway, I was supposed to originally go to that.
Okay,
but I would have seen you guys, but you know, I'm definitely gonna catch you this summer
for sure.
Like at Sonic Temple, which I want to get into with you, but well, yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. You know, I mean, Sonic Temple Festival, Danny Wimmer Presents Festival. You guys will be playing that in May. And then are you doing Rockville also? Or
we are also doing Rockville. Yeah, I mean, we're so excited. So,
is this your first time playing one of his festivals?
Yep, first time. Dave and Troy, our rhythm section, they played before with Hire the Hero. There used to be with him. So they've done it before, but me and Tristan and his Mood and Fever is our first time, so we're super, super stoked.
Yeah, it's an awesome festival. I always hit the Sonic Temple one and like the Ohio ones, and just well put together. Always, you know, exposed me to new music, great bands. The bands seem to be treated very well there, so looking forward to it, man. You guys should have a good time there.
Yeah, we are too, man. We can't wait, dude. Can't wait.
And then you guys you know, just got off the road with Steel Panther, so a little bit of downtime, and then, you know, what's next?
Right now we're just gonna be writing in LA, rehearsing, keeping our set tight. Definitely gonna be doing some touring in the upcoming months. Also, we're releasing a new single March 15th called Forever Sleep. Big heater. That's about it. It's kind of weird. Like, I think we're probably going to have like around a month off. I'm like, who am I? Not on the road. It's very weird. Like, you know, got to remember how, like, learn how to write songs again, you know?
Drive out to Mount Rainier. Get connected. Get grounded with nature.
Yeah. Some deal, man. Yeah.
And then, so you got the single that's going to be new single that's going to be coming out in a couple weeks. But what's you know, is there a release date yet for a new album?
I would expect that this year we're going to put a full length out. I know we're definitely going to be putting out a vinyl that will be out probably this summer. That will have, like, basically, whatever we're going to release on the LP will be out on this vinyl. So, but I want to put that out there and just like get a gazillion vinyls out, and then we'll like put the album out eventually, which I think is kind of like a fun idea.
And then do you have an idea for the name of the album yet?
Not totally yet, but I mean, more than likely, since Forever Sleep's the single, I have a feeling you can expect it to be called Forever Sleep, but yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
And then, you guys have, I think the latest video or single that is out is what, Feel So Good?
Yeah. Yeah.
Current one. And is that expected to be on it as well then? Or?
Definitely. Yeah. Everything we've put out so far will definitely be on it. Yeah.
Okay. And then, what was like the, I was checking the lyric video out, but like, what was the inspiration behind that and, the message that you're sending?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, yeah, it came out really interesting. Like we were filming a video in Phoenix, Arizona for Getting Loud. And I was like, I don't know, like we were doing anything where we just say like random sayings in the band. And we're like, oh man, we're like, oh, it feels so good. And someone's like, oh, not to like whatever it was. And then it was just like, okay, put that down on the list. And then it just kind of like, then we wrote with our buddy Brandon in Phoenix and it just kind of developed itself. It was really cool. It's a really cool songwriting process for that one. Very natural, but yeah, I like that one. It's Peter.
Yeah, me too.
Play live too. Love that song live. It's great. Yeah,
that's why I wanted to ask too, like, when you guys are out on the road, like what's some of the tracks that you you enjoy playing most live to connect with the audience?
Yeah, I would definitely say Feel So Good is such a fun moment. We like extend like our bridge in the song, and then usually it'll like do something wild for that guitar solo. Like I think it was like Arkansas at the Hall, maybe I jumped off this like 15-foot monitor going into that solo and just like destroyed my legs, but like whatever. And so there's like little moments like that. And I would also say and I'm Gone, in that breakdown, like that kind of more metally breakdown, usually that goes pretty wild live. So like there's like some of those moments that are just so sick.
Yeah, that jump didn't feel so good though, right?
Oh, no. I'm not gonna lie to you. I still feel it in my chin.
And I know what I wanted to ask you. As the founder, you should be able to tell me this. Like, what was the inspiration behind the name Moon Fever?
Well, originally it was because like in LA, like we would just like be going out all the time. Me and the some of the original dudes I was working with, I was like, oh, so the moon is out. I was like, oh dude, it's like, we're getting called out to go like go party and whatever, so it's like, oh, you got the moon fever. And that was like the original har har kind of bit, and we're like, all right, we can make that work.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then so I was listening to you guys at the gym this morning, and hearing some of the other songs, and of course like Cocaine came up, and I really connected that was a topic that used to get me in a lot of trouble back in the day. But talk about like that song and that inspiration.
Originally that was one of the original first songs with like kind of the original lineup I had. And I had the riff for like a really long time, and I was like, kind of a Queens of Stone Age riff thing going on. And we're like, we had some lyrics for the verse, and our bass player at the time, his name's Gabe Masca, he's like, what if we just say the word cocaine and that's the hook? And I'm like, I don't know if we can do that. And we just did it. We're like, all right, that works, baby. Let's roll with it.
Yeah, it gets attention.
Yeah.
And then you said you've kind of found the magic mix now with band members over the years. Like when did you feel like, okay, this is it? This is
Without question, it was when Tristan Brock came in the band. We were like me and Dave and Troy, we were kind of like running like new material, you know, kind of like, you know, kind of like put a new sound together. I'm like, okay, this is like where I really want it to go, more like heavier, you know, kind of more active rock, radio rock vibes. And we were jamming for a while, and I was like, okay, these guys are cool, like they're a vibe, like they're cool guys too and stuff. And then started auditioning a couple singers, and then Tristan showed up, and actually I just dropped off a different singer from this audition, and I was like, all right, I think I found our guy. And then I was like, all right, we'll meet this Tristan guy. And he came in and we talked a little bit, like smoked a couple cigarettes, and I'm like, all right, dude showed up. And literally within the five seconds of him singing, I'm like, this is the band, done. I'm like, it just was instant magic. I was like, this is the, can be the only singer of this band. It's what it is. It's written in the stars, dude, you know? So it was just instant vibe magic. Dude had like six songs written already, like for like 3 days prep, came in just like, which one do you want to do? Boom, boom, boom. Like, I'm like, this is the guy, done. You know?
And then, so the other guy you just dropped off, you're just like, did you call him back?
Oh, of course. I mean, I'm a nice dude. I was like, hey, man, sorry, you know? But hopefully he's also up there doing well.
Yeah. So it's like you were kind of like, all right, I got our guy. All right, we'll just give this guy a shot. And then it was just like, knocked you out of your socks, huh?
Literally instant. I mean, like, you can kind of feel it in the room when it's right. You know what I mean? It's just like, I mean, I remember me and Troy and Dave just like looking at each other being like, all right, that's it. That's what we were looking for. Done. You know? And then, yeah, we literally got the group together, did 3 warm-up shows together, and then opened for Godsmack in Las Vegas. It was pretty wild.
Sweet. And then what was, so like how long has this band been together then?
We're creeping on our second year. I think about our second year is like June or something. So we've been definitely hustling the past year and a half without question.
Yeah. So you guys have kind of broken through all the, you know, have hit the road, done the opening slots for some big bands like Godsmack and stuff, and kind of, you know, been through whatever the stressors may be that would, you know, cause any issues, and you guys have seemed to be doing all right, huh? Talking through everything.
Yeah, definitely. No, yeah. I mean, you know, we're like a bunch of dudes in a tin can traveling across the country. So yeah, you know, things happen, but like, yeah, we're all homies at the end of the day. You know what I mean? So it's a good group, and like everyone really gets along with each other, and you know, if anything comes up, we always can work it through. It's good. It's good. Proud of this band. Yeah.
Yeah, that's always the best thing in any kind of like relationship, man, communication stuff. So, and then, you know, I mean, for the hustle and where you guys are working towards, you know, especially driving in a tin can, smelling each other's smells for hours on the road.
Oh my bro. I just cleaned the van when I got in last night. It was an absolute horror show.
And you still got up for this interview, man. You were
perfect. I'm getting after it, baby.
All right. And then, so like you said, just got home, got like about a month off, but going to be, you know, obviously getting together. Now, where's everybody's based in Seattle pretty much then?
Pretty much. I'm like, I live in Seattle. And then the guy, Dave Troy, basically in like Tacoma, and then Tristan's across the water in Bremerton. So we're like central around Seattle, basically a ferry away, you know?
Okay. Issaquah. That was the place I visited when I was out there. I think it's called. Yeah. Yeah. It was, definitely sweet, man. I didn't see Bigfoot. I was hoping to, but.
Oh, they got him, dude. They got him. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Got to work on getting Bigfoot on a cameo for, you know, one of the singles before you release the vinyl.
I like that idea. Actually, I really like that idea. Like, like you just shaky camera and it's like pans out to the woods and there's like Bigfoot and he's like promotes the album. I actually love that idea. I'm not going to lie.
Dude, yeah, with a full moon in the background.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I absolutely love that. I love that a lot. Yeah.
That's moon fever right there. All right. Well, I mean, if it pulls off, you guys get it. You know, I don't ask for much. Just maybe a guest list spot when you come through Cleveland or whatever.
Oh, absolutely, dude. Done deal. We got you, man.
Awesome. And then, other kind of like goals do you guys? I mean, you guys got these festivals this summer. Say you're going to be hitting the road again. Are you allowed to talk about, the tour or anything?
If not, can do it.
not yet. No announcements yet.
Huh? No, can't do that. But I mean, goals in this year. I mean, just we want to keep writing a lot. You know, we're releasing, you know, what a single we're very proud of, and just like really just staying on the road. You know, I mean, like honestly, it's like everyone gets back and within 3 days, everyone's just like, okay, it's been cool being here. Let's go and do rock shows. Like even last night, I was like making some dinner, and I was like, oh man, I'm like, this sucks. I'm like, I just would rather have like a turkey sandwich backstage and, you know, like a couple of whiskeys and go smash a gig right now, but you know, it's okay. So tour, singles, you know, big rock, doing the thing.
Nice. Yeah. I just had Blind Channel on,
awesome.
Monday. Yeah. And they're going to be at Sonic Temple as well. And, they're like, you know, like, yeah, you know, and then we got a tour, but we can't talk about it. I'm like, come on, man. He's like, no, you'll hear about it tomorrow. And I'm like, this ain't even going to be up till tomorrow. You know, it's like, come on, drop me. And, oh man, we can't. And then like, of course, get up. It's POD. I'm like, I'm friends with those guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
My journey was going to drop.
I don't actually know. I don't even really know. I don't get it until they tell me. They keep me in the dark. They're like, hey, there's probably things. And I'm like, okay.
Keep your schedule open.
Yeah, dude, basically for us, it's just like we get our dates when we get confirmed, and they're like, you're going to Angola. And I'm like, okay, sick. Let's roll, dog.
Keep the van clean.
Yeah, that's the game plan.
And then, is there what do you feel like, you know, you guys have been together 2 years now. You're still kind of like, you know, you guys have been through some stuff. But what do you feel like you can still learn and improve on?
I mean, really all of it, you know. I mean, I will say this one thing from Steel Panther we most certainly learned is like stage performance, man. Like going and performing before Steel Panther every night is like very hard to do. Like, those dudes are just insane stage performers. So it's like, you know, like, and I'm not saying we don't throw down, because we throw down, but, you know, like, that was a thing. We definitely learned a lot from Steel Panther. These last runs was really cool. But I mean, all in all, I mean, you know, just being a better band, you know, more songwriting, you know, you can always get better at literally, there's no end to music. It's like, I can always be a better guitar player. You know what I mean? And we can always be a better band, you know? So it's like, just, yeah, continuing the process really, you know?
Yeah. And then, you know, before we get ready and like wrap up, I want to ask you a couple of questions that, I normally ask, guests I have on, and this one's always tough for musicians, but who would you say is your top three musical artists?
Oh, dude, brutal. So hard. I mean, okay. Whew, okay. I'm going to go just kind of with one that was the best show I've ever seen live, and then two that I'm listening to right now to make it quick. Best show I've ever seen live, without question, was Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers at the Rose Bowl. Without question, the best show I've ever seen in my entire life. It was absolutely incredible. That and Iggy Pop was also, I played, it was good. But I would say bands currently that are really high on my list is Himalayas. They're incredible. And also Kid Kapachi, I'm really into right now. If you want currently what I'm kind of into, but I don't know if that's the best. The ones I love the most. I don't know. Hard question, dude.
And then, you know, as a young man that kind of at 17, you're just like, you've been on your own figuring it out pretty much right out of high school. What class do you feel should be mandatory before graduating high school today?
Oh my God. Learn how to do your taxes, bro. Dude. Yeah. That would be smart. I mean, learn music, but dude, learn how to do your taxes.
Dude, that's like the number one answer I get for that question.
Yeah, it's true. It's really true. That's that. Yeah. I was like, oh, what? I have to learn how to do this. What? Okay.
I wish the the people in control of the curriculums will watch my podcast more because
I agree.
Totally it. But and then who are three people who've inspired you and you can credit for making you the person you are today?
Ooh, okay, cool. Good question. I would say there's a guy named Drew Berlin that really helped me out when I was a young kid coming up in music. You know, he kind of taught me a lot of things about recording and stuff from a young age. Got me like guitars and stuff, kind of got me started in LA. He was a big help. Carl Verhaen is also a massive help to my life. He's an amazing guitar player from, he's like solo guy, studio guy, super tramp. And he's someone I've learned a gazillion things for. And I would say probably big dog, Don Robertson, my current manager, he's done a lot for me. And I thank him for it. Thanks, Don. Big rock.
Shout out to Don.
Shout out to Don. Big dog.
And then are there any causes or organizations that you support and encourage others to check out?
I don't know. Anyone you support, we support, brother.
Sounds good. And then this, I enjoy asking this one, takes everybody back, but favorite toy as a child?
Ooh, I would say this, probably some of the most fun I had when I was a kid is like me and my brother and our little cousins, like just playing with like pellet guns and just shooting each other, like running around the woods. That was highlight childhood for me. Like going back, top tier. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And then, are you a fan of like wrestling by any chance?
Not a huge amount. But our Tristan, our singer, definitely loves some wrestling.
Oh yeah, yeah. Usually I ask like who was your favorite growing up.
I mean, Macho Man Randy Savage is awesome. You know? Oh yeah, bro.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't go wrong with picking Macho Man.
Yeah, you gotta be with Macho Man, dude. Yeah.
I think he had that moon fever, man.
Yeah, I think he'd be so in on moon fever, dude. Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For
sure.
And then any message that you have for our military members currently serving overseas?
Oh, well, hey, keep it up. Thank you, boys. Get home safe.
Awesome. And then, you know, for any of the audience that's maybe new to moon fever and want to check you guys out and support you and, you know, pick up the vinyl when it's released and all that, where would you send them?
You can check us out, you know, on moonfever.com. Also, you know, our handle in social media handles, Moon Fever Official. You can get all the links there and, yeah, check it out. High energy rock and roll from Seattle, baby.
Awesome. Well, hey, Mitch, man, it's been good talking with you and stuff. I really appreciate you getting up after, you know, just getting off the road with Steel Panther and having to clean that van. I mean, you're a trooper, man. So I appreciate having you on.
Got to do it, baby.
Can I ask you one last favor before I let you go?
Sure, man.
You mind cutting a promo ID for the show? Just introduce yourself. You're listening to Today's Boondoggle.
You got it. Hey, this is Mitch from Moon Fever. You're listening to Today's Boondoggle podcast. Like
yeah.
Nice.
Good stuff, Mitch. Hey, man, thanks a lot for your time. It was good talking. No,
thanks for having me, man. It was a lot of fun.
Go get some rest and reacclimate.
You're telling me, dude. All right. Thanks so much, dude.
All right. Take care.
Yeah. Bye-bye.